You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning! Happy Tuesday to you.
Just talking about how days can start. Todd, you even had a little story. And I was just telling John a story about me coming to work this morning. And, you know, 5 o'clock, you'd like your day to be kind of like...
Yeah.
Chill.
Yeah. Start out that way.
Todd was coming down in the elevator and spilled his coffee. And then I, of course, had a confrontation with a pedestrian.
So. Coming down the elevator, Todd.
I stayed in town last night because I filled in on Pete's show.
Oh, where'd you stay?
At the Legacy.
Wow.
I know, we're doing better than I thought.
Holy cow. We still haven't been there, have we?
I've been there a couple times.
I haven't walked in the door.
Yeah, well, it's nice. Right, Todd?
It's the nicest hotel I've been in. But
no,
I'm coming
kidding.
Down in this really swanky thing.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where the pop tops off. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Coffee all over my hand, right? All over the floor.
Just to start.
So I literally get out of the elevator, set the coffee down, and get the hell out of there. Yeah.
You know, I will say this. That was one of the fun things about staying in hotels all the time when I was on the road. It's just going down to the lobby in the morning there, and they've got the little, you can make your own waffle, and you can have your whatever. You know what I mean? That's like so cool. It's like, I was thinking, how could I set this up in my house?
Yeah. I mean, there's not all, that's like Hampton stuff. Sometimes when you go down, they have the free coffee, but breakfast is a little expensive in some of those places.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like a glass of juice?
But when they have the complimentary, take it all day long. Today is voter registration day. All right. If you voted in the last election, you don't need to re-register, right?
Yeah. No. These are just people if you've relocated or if you haven't voted.
Well,
college kids.
You know what? I didn't realize.
You claim residency, they can't vote twice.
They're pretty specific, though, on where you're registered, huh?
Yes.
Because when I lived in Ledgeview, I was registered for Ledgeview.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and stood in line at Ledgeview for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then my thing said Manitowoc. I was living in Manitowoc.
Yep.
So I had to re-register in Manitowoc.
Why would you do that? Why you just give it up in Manitowoc?
They wouldn't let me vote in Ledgeview.
Well, sure. If you lived there for 10 days, you could just show them your water bill or something. Mm-hmm. Just register right there.
In Manitowoc?
No, in Ledgeview.
No, but I had been registered in Ledgeview.
Oh, you had been. Okay, all right.
And so then I moved to Manitowoc.
Oh, yeah. But how long were you in Manitowoc? Were you there more than 10 days before you went to vote?
Well, yeah.
Well, then, yeah, you could have just registered right there.
Well, that's what I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Jeez. Talk about a morning. At least Todd only spilled his coffee. I mean,
I can't communicate. The voter, fraud or whatever. It's like, boy, they spit me out.
Oh, yeah.
We're kind of wearing this different colors, but kind of the same shirt.
I got another shirt here. I'll change.
Okay. No, it looks fine. It doesn't look too close.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take that.
All right.
Thank you. Punctuation day. I'm terrible at punctuation.
Oh, you are not.
I am too.
You wrote 4 books. I wouldn't say that if I was...
I have a phenomenal editor. My editors are always former English teachers.
Yeah.
And one of them used to be Kathy. She was Kathy McKenzie, Pat McKenzie's sister.
Yeah.
Teacher all her life.
Yep.
And it was back in the day where I would print them out and I would hand them to her and she would use a red pen and she was just like turning into term paper.
Yep.
And she'd make smart aleck comments about, phrase she didn't like. And it was exactly like back in high school.
That is a gift.
It was a gift that they got that.
I have a youngest daughter. Then my other daughters, where they would write something. Even sometimes I'd put a little speech together. And she'd take out that pen and just start striking stuff. She wouldn't read it and think about it. It was just like,
boom, 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 right. Boom, boom. I know.
Like, wow.
I know.
That hurt.
But you almost have that or you don't have
it. That's what I'm saying. I agree.
Yeah. I Health Week. Well, as long as I got my $1.25 glasses,
I know.
Uh-huh.
You overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Yeah, Nikki bought these for me.
Those are old man glasses.
They are, aren't they?
I have to tell you, you look older with those on.
Okay.
You look better with the women's glasses.
With what on?
Wow.
With those what on?
Yeah.
They'll never be on again.
No, she bought them for you. You should wear them. But yeah, those are. Okay, what else?
Kevin Sorbo, 66. He was.
Was he He-Man?
He-Man or somebody like that, right?
Yeah.
A big Viking kind of guy.
Yep.
Mean Joe Green, 78. One of the all-time greats. Played against Northern Michigan University when he played for North Texas State. Did you know that?
No.
No? Right. Well, he did. Played against Northern Michigan.
Is he still around?
Yeah.
Oh, he's 78.
And that was still one of the most iconic.
See how that works, Jim?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was kind of looking
for my glasses. We don't do birthdays for people that don't have birthdays anymore.
Yeah, right. We did that before.
We made that rule. Yep. Right. Yep. Yeah, who do we do? Where it's like, oh, they're still alive. And then it's like, they died like 20 years ago.
I think that happened on one of the days I was off. I was listening in. And,
okay.
Because I always like to do born on dates. Like yesterday, Ray Charles was born and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Right.
That's the cue that they're dead.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We did some people that were, But the Mean Joe Green, he had the most iconic commercial of its era.
Oh, yeah.
Where he gave the little kid the, or he gave him his jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Throwed him.
So I did, for the old Lindy Infante show, I used to do those little spoofs.
Yep.
So I did one on how hard of a day it is for a sportscaster at a Packer game. Okay. And at the end, I'm walking through the tunnel, Lambeau Field, walking down the tunnel, and this little boy is walking up with a bottle of Coke. And he goes, hey, Mr. Mino, would you like some? Nah, that's okay, son. You sure you can have some? Nah. And then he gives it to me. And then I turn, okay? And I turn and I say, hey, kid. Remember when Joe Green throws him his jersey?
Right.
I throw him my reporter's notebook.
That's funny.
I think a better Minoism would be like the kid going, hey, Mr. Mino. And you're like, no. Hey, Mr. Are you sure, Mr.? I said no.
Yeah, just start yelling at the kid, have him cry. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Scar him for life. Yeah.
Kid's dad comes out.
Right. Just wailing on you.
I can see that. I can absolutely see that. Hey, we got a good show to go. Daryl Burnett coming in from the Automobile Gallery for
Oktoberfest.
Well, no.
Yeah?
No.
October.
October.
Yep.
Oktoberfest. 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 That sounds like a German thing, right?
It is.
Oktoberfest. Just saying. Sounds like a German
October
thing.
October.
So anyway, okay, we got that. Then we got Scott Fitzgerald and James Gottelson coming in. Okay. I have to run up to my place because I've got something for Scott. I have some sand from the beaches of Iwo Jima. And they wrote that song about Iwo Jima, a soldier in a marine on Iwo Jima. Remember we had the guy in here
who was
phenomenal? And he asked if he could have some of that sand. They're building a custom guitar for the guy to based on Iwo Jima, and he wants to incorporate some of that sand in the guitar.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
So we get
unlike on the front, and then he'll put like slack over it, that little sand, and that'll look cool.
Yeah.
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Then we got Carl Winter, NBC 26, coming in, Neighborhood Focus. Boy, those are good people, huh? Mm-hmm. NBC 26.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to get Noah in, though. He'll do it. Noah was the guy the other night. Did you see the Facebook?
I saw it.
Did you see the Facebook thing with
him? No, I'm not on that.
It was the first game he's done. Good kid. Really great kid. And so he was down there to do a report for us. Well, the team comes running back in the field, and their team, their offensive line, they had one guy that was 337 pounds, another one was 308, another one was 300. I mean, just huge mongous. So they're running by him, almost trampling him. But then it was youth football night, and there had to be 300 youth football players. Well, they realized there was a live camera, and they just swarmed it. Like, you can't believe. He wasn't sure what to do. It was funny stuff, though. Like
it was great to see him react, because he was taken aback.
He was I'm not sure what to do. Kids were in front of him.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with Katie. Her son was Brody, was one of them. You know, right? And jumping in front of him and doing the whole... It was really a funny
thing. That's cool.
So, like to get him on. Heidi Sherman, Midwest Viking Fest. Tell us about that, Todd.
That's coming up at UWGB, right?
Yeah.
They had like, 3,000 people there last time.
Wow.
That's a huge event. Just great. Looking at the heritage, right?
Yep.
That's about the food, the culture. Yeah. That's a big, big event. That's going to be cool talking to her about
Norwegian,
that.
Right? The Vikings?
I'm not sure.
Nordic? Pretty much. I used to love that show, Vikings.
I don't remember
that. You didn't
see
the show Vikings on Netflix a few years back? Oh, man, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's the Scandinavian history that they really lean into, but
yeah, there are some people that swear they found some stuff up in the UP from Vikings.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a guy in Manitowoc used to tell me he thinks there was a Viking gravesite on his farm that he wanted to dig it up one time. And I was going to dig it up with him.
But that would be cool. It's his farm.
I know. It's his own farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be cool. I'm a big fan of Vikings. Big fan.
See, that when you say that, I can't help but think of football. So I don't, you know what I mean?
Well, we were at Mesabi. We were the Norsemen.
Yeah.
So close. I was a Viking.
Right.
Pretty mm-hmm. close. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So that's good stuff. Good lineup, Todd. That's going to be fantastic.
Should be fun.
Good time of year to be out doing stuff, too, though, isn't it? Just the greatest time of year. And you know what?
This week.
Yesterday I went for a walk.
Okay, yes.
I didn't cough once.
Oh.
And I didn't sneeze once.
The allergies are moving out.
It must have been just below a certain temperature. So it was nice walking by the river yesterday. It was a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
And it just, I felt like I could breathe for the first time.
This whole week is going to be, it's going to warm up later this week. And, you know, I told you I'm taking some people apple picking. And I called the lady. I'm today I'm bringing some people.
Which people were you taking?
From the new community shelter.
The homeless people?
Yeah.
Haven't they suffered enough?
I get to drive. My wife drives her car. So I was calling, and the lady goes, oh, my God. I said, well, come this weekend. Oh, she goes, you know, it's you can, but it's just crazy. It's like 3,000-4,000 people we get here.
Oh, my here God.
On a weekend. I said, well, it's going to be during the Packer game. She goes, oh, yeah, then you can come.
There'll be nobody. Yes. Yeah.
So that's where we're going to go during the Viking game, just the first half. But it's apple picking and pears.
No, I like pears.
Do you?
I'll get you some.
$2 a pound.
If you give me
$2
a pound, that's like one pear's a pound, isn't it?
I don't know if that's a lot.
Pound?
I have no idea.
That'd be like 50 cents a piece, I bet.
I don't know.
I think that's pretty expensive. Oh, don't you?
I know. I don't. I just
$2 a pound?
That's what she told me. She said everything's $2 a pound. I'm like, okay.
I bet two pears is a pound.
No, John, they're not that
8 ounces? You're saying a pear's not 8 ounces?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I've got a food scale. Well, I'll bring it in. I'll bring it in tomorrow.
I don't care. So I'll bring you 10.
Bring me a buck's worth.
I'll bring you like $10 worth. All right. Anyway, I thought that was cool. I didn't know we had a lot of
pear picking. We grew pears in Wisconsin.
In Michigan, across the river, across the lake, we pick peaches.
Really?
This time of year.
I didn't know that.
Actually,
either.
That's like 2 weeks ago.
Well, that's southern Michigan then. I mean, lower Michigan.
It's lower Michigan.
It's not the UP.
No.
I didn't know there was peaches over in lower Michigan.
I had no idea. I thought it was like Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. There's Florida.
I
don't think so.
Well, look it up. There's peach. You can. I don't think so.
Look it up.
Okay, look it up.
Who's from Michigan? You or me?
Upper Michigan, which should be Wisconsin anyway. I don't know how we could let you guys get away with that.
All right. We got to send our break.
All right.
All right. Big show coming up, folks. Stay with us. Back up. You're afraid that if you give in, someone else will come along and suck it to you again. Wrong there during the break, Todd.
Yeah,
so did Jim.
I did.
We both said Jackson 5.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you got that wrong.
But that does sound like the Jackson 5,
a bit.
Though.
I mean, totally does.
He's Donny Osmond.
They don't have those kinds of groups anymore. We'd have like the family and the little kids.
Yeah, no, you're right.
No.
There's nothing like that anymore.
You know, that's true. I'm trying to think. Yeah.
Nothing. I still get those things on album covers. You get those, Todd? Like one a day, worst album covers of all time.
Oh, yes. On social media?
Yeah.
There's some really bad ones out there.
There's some that are like, one of this one this morning, maybe I can find it on my thing. I'm going to say a bad word, kind of, okay? It was like, Bobby, Sissy, and the Midget.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Oh. And some of the worst ones, have you noticed?
Taste.
They're gospel albums.
Yeah!
Right? And it's like a brother and sister, maybe. And she's got the big beehive. And he's got, you know, the cross-eyed and the space between his teeth. And it's called He Touched Me.
Yeah.
You know,
right? Oh, wow.
Exactly right.
Okay. I can't find nothing subject here. He touched me. All right.
out. Prize package. We're giving out a prize package today to then whoever can email us a picture of the worst album cover.
Okay, that's good.
We're giving it. Do we have Frank tickets?
We got tickets for Frank's shows all the way through the end of the season.
We got tickets for Frank's show. Worst album cover you can find that you can send us, and we will judge.
Text it in on the Civic Media app. Yes. Choose the station and just get it in here.
I know the one you're talking about. That's why it's so funny. I can see it in my head. Oh, okay. Hey, these two of us are having a good time.
That's right.
Got a thing here. They're called Michigan peaches, John. Who figured? I didn't know that.
So that would be like there's Ludington, Holland,
Traverse City.
Yeah, I think it's that neck of the woods, though, where there's...
Oh, on the West Shore?
Yes.
You ever see that thing? You got Big Bear Dunes, Sleeping Bear Dunes. Now. Sleeping Bear Dunes?
I didn't go there.
In that area?
No.
So the thing on that, it's like this, it's the hardest thing in the world to get up and down. I mean, you can get down it without problems. It goes right down to like, it's gorgeous, just beautiful.
Oh, that's unbelievable over
there. But
it's
unbelievably difficult to get back up. It takes like 4 hours. And people have had heart attacks and everything because you sink, you take a step and the sand just sinks. You go further back half the time than going forward. But if they have to rescue, there's a big sign, $3,000 it will cost you to be rescued.
Oh, if they come out? Mm-hmm. That's
there's
good.
There's a big sign that says right there, $3,000.
I'm fine with that. It's
me
like,
too.
You know, you idiot. Yes.
Me too.
It's because that is. And it probably costs them close to that. That's not... They're not making a lot of money on that. Even when you get the helicopter or whatever they bring out there.
Like if you're on one of these ice floes and the helicopter has to come out and rescue you, do you get charged? Does anybody know? Help us out on this one, somebody.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they should.
They don't? I thought they do. I know if your car goes through or anything, you have to call one of those salvage places. A friend of mine runs one of them.
That's different, though. I mean, but to be rescued, the Coast Guard?
To be rescued by the Coast Guard on an
ice
floe.
Now we're paying those guys. I don't think so. They charge on top of that?
I thought they did. I thought they did.
Those guys are in Sturgeon Bay, Green Bay, and they're there to do that.
And sometimes they've come over from like Traverse City,
to
the different places. I don't know. Todd, do you know?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. Somebody will know. Somebody text us. Do you get charged if you get rescued by the Coast Guard out on an ice floe?
Yeah, I would guess not.
No?
No.
Okay.
But
all right.
I wouldn't.
Our first entry.
Wow.
God, I don't know if I can even read it.
It's oh my goodness! I'll throw it up on the stream too, so people can see.
Yeah,
that.
Put it up there. Mary Hinge. I wonder how Mary Hinge. I wonder how she's doing.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah. Okay, who's that from, Todd?
That's from Alex this morning.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Alex.
Alex,
you're in the lead.
You are in the lead, and I think you're going to stay there. That's a pretty good one.
I got this one. John, on many of my mountain adventures, this is Mike, who's the big mountain climber.
Yes.
On many of these mountain adventures I go on, they will absolutely charge if they have to rescue us from the mountain.
Yep, I think that's true. Because
that's a park service or whatever, right? Wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I don't.
Why wouldn't the Coast Guard? I don't know. I think they do. I think they charge.
Really? Those sailboats? Really? I don't.
All right.
I mean, I think, why are we paying them then?
All right. Just saying. Is our first. Okay. Is that up on the stream now, Tom?
I got it up on the stream.
It's the first one that's up.
Mary Hinge. It's she and her dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Enter Me, Lord.
Have you seen that before?
No.
Because that is.
Don't you hate that dog? Just by looking at him, don't you hate that dog with the little ribbon in his hair?
Yeah.
Don't you, though?
Yep.
Yeah, can't you just see, hey, come on in. And that dog would come and just be at your ankles the whole time, just the entire jumping on you and just snapping at you.
Yeah.
And this one's legit because the price tag is still on it.
From Safeway.
Safeway was $1.89.
Yeah.
Wow. It's still there. That's fantastic.
She's the one that goes up with her dog, and you know, a dog is spelled backwards. You know, people always say that are like religious with their dog.
Oh, God is dog. Right. Oh, yeah. I've never heard that before.
What?
I've never heard that before. Nobody's heard that before. Todd, did you ever heard that before?
Yes,
I have.
Oh, right, John, everybody has.
Yeah.
Anyway, that I'm sure she mentions that in her gospel song.
Yeah.
Yep. So, is she, could anybody want to research her? Is she still
married? I'll look her up.
I don't know that. Let's do an over under. Do you think she's around?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
There's no bet to have.
No disrespect, but Mary doesn't look like.
She did the test of time.
She doesn't look like the old protein diet worked out that well.
Dog outlasted her.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. So, anyway, no disrespect. Not no. Trimming. I'm just saying this is from 20 years ago. I don't think.
That's all 20 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe 50 more. years ago. Yeah. I don't think Mary.
But you have glasses like that.
I do have glasses like that.
So.
Oh, no. Oh, is this her?
Dear Lord, oh, that's more than 20 years.
So this is a group called the Faith Tones.
Okay.
I got to find the album to go along with this. It's called Jesus, Use Me.
Oh, this is terrible.
You guys. Your mom listening? I was just going to say that.
Is your brother the priest listening? Oh, this is bad. Todd, what's wrong with you? We can play this all in time.
Yeah.
Because we're just along for the ride in this one.
Yeah.
This one's tight.
There's the album cover on that one there.
Oh, my God.
You get your glasses again.
Oh, my.
And the hair.
Look.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Facebook. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. I got another great one here.
The, Beatles
with the, with the dolls with the heads cut off. That was controversial at the time. We are doing a contest for the worst album covers of all time. We've got three entries. Should we even say the names? What was Enter Me Jesus? And then what was the other one? Todd, what was the other one you had there?
Let me see something else like that.
Yeah.
Jesus Use Me.
Jesus Use Me.
Yeah. This is terrible. I'm not saying it.
I'm staying away from this one.
Is the bishop
listening?
Is the bishop? Is he coming in today?
No, I...
Got a couple more for you here this morning, too. We saw the Beatles one.
Mm-hmm.
Here is...
I don't think you should make fun of Jesus.
I'm not!
You go right ahead.
I'm not!
The amazing...
can't see it. What is that?
Something on a motorcycle.
Like a frog riding a ATV?
The amazing Rhythm Aces. Too Stuffed to Jump.
Ah, okay. Okay. Don't remember that one? I remember the amazing Rhythm Aces.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Daryl got a kick out of our religious entries, by the way.
Yeah, well, hard not to laugh at those.
Thank you for dragging me.
Right.
He's from the Bible Belt.
We want to spread the...
I'm an innocent bystander.
There you go.
You laughed harder than anybody.
You're dragging me into it already.
It's Satan can drag you in.
Daryl Burnett joining us, ladies and gentlemen.
So, Daryl, you...
Huge event coming up.
Right. That automobile museum gallery is just a great, great thing in Green Bay. And I think it's well known, but I don't think it's as well known as it should be, right? It just has, you're always changing out the cars that are there. I live over in that neck of the woods, so I drive by there. You always have events going on, right? And you say 200 or something a year?
Over 200 a year. And then we rent out our executive boardroom on a fairly frequent basis. But, you know, it's amazing to me. There are some locals who aren't aware we exist. And then, like, this weekend, we have a gentleman from Norway coming in to write an article in a magazine. Yeah. So it's just amazing who knows and who doesn't.
And I, years ago, we did this passport in your own community. You know, Botanical Gardens, I think most people have been there. But, you know, Northland Hotel, your place, there's just a lot of cool things. And we have to be ambassadors. And you really promote that automobile gallery. I just think it's great what you've done there. And what do you got coming up now? You got this...
Oktoberfest.
Okay. We battled that at the start of the show.
Hard time saying that. And it's nice how you,
you want to say Oct, but you can't. It's just Otto.
So it's
Burfest.
All right.
Otto Burfest.
That's coming up.
Otto Burfest.
Just like Oktoberfest, only Oktoberfest.
I got it.
Oktoberfest.
Because you did it. We went
still
to
not
that.
Doing that right. Todd, am I still doing it wrong?
Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's just Oktoberfest.
So this will be our fourth annual.
Okay. But you did an Italian fest, which was, that was a blast.
Oh, it was, we haven't been together since that.
Since that, that's right.
We were hoping to get 700 paying customers. We had over 1,400.
Wow.
Come for Festa Italiana.
Yep. I talked to a lot of people who went to that. And this Oktoberfest is more the German. So we'll see.
It is the German equivalent of Festa Italiana. Yeah. We're bringing in millions and millions and millions of dollars of German cars and vehicles of all sorts, ranging from the BMW, from the Mad Max movie series that is on the extreme end. And then we have Messerschmitts. We have BMW iZettas, and then we have
a
5-day-old supercar that just landed from Germany and everything in between.
Really? Outstanding.
Wow.
How big was the, and you're an aficionado in car history, how important, and this could be a weird question, were the German automakers to the German military during the war?
Oh, it was amazing.
I mean, you mentioned Messerschmitt, of course.
Exactly, plane. And knowing military history the way you do, John, Messerschmitt was prevented after the war from making vehicles for about 3 years by the Allied forces because of making the fighter planes for the German armed forces during World War II. Yes.
Wow. I had heard that same type of thing with Japan with Mitsubishi.
Yes. Very much the same case. And, you know, you have to put yourself in that position back then. You didn't want to suddenly put arms back into the hands of the people you had just defeated in the war.
Absolutely.
But, you know, once again, here's a little known fact that Ferdinand Porsche, following the war, was prevented from building cars in Germany. So the first 2 years, Porsches were built in Austria.
Really?
Until they could retool the factories and get back on their feet because, and Dr.
What Porsche, about Mercedes?
Mercedes, you know, again, was... Again, some of the most famous cars, Hitler's car was a Mercedes.
Right.
And, you know, I don't hear so much about them, but we all know that it was all driven by Hitler. And a lot of these gentlemen, Dr. Porsche, a good example, made the Volkswagen in 1939 for Adolf Hitler. And it wasn't, hey, would you like to? It was, you will make this for me. And so, you know, they had to do what they had to do.
Yeah.
Back in the day. But, you know, the tremendous engineering and attention to detail that the Germans had was incredible.
And I think everybody kind of knows that, but it's so true. I mean, they just didn't mess around.
No.
I mean.
And you know, there are famous stories where it doesn't matter what it costs.
Right. That's what
it will be quality first.
Right.
And engineering first.
Yep.
And then we'll see where things land. Where in other cultures and other economies, get the product out there and we'll fix it in the field. You know, it's a completely different mindset.
Well, you know, in my, just another album cover. In my book, there's this one guy, nice guy from Ocano Falls, Mr. Jenkins, was Richard Jenkins. And he was like a tank repairman during the Battle of the Bulge and the whole thing in World War II. Mm. Well, his unit went right into the Czech Republic then, or Czechoslovakia, whatever it was called at that time. Mm-hmm. And they were going to have the big, huge thing to celebrate the Americans liberating them. Mm-hmm. Okay? This huge parade right in Pilsen. And they said, we got this huge dignitary that's going to be here from America. And they were thinking the president or whatever. You know, so that's the biggest. People are so unbelievably excited they couldn't believe it. So they actually got Goebbels' car, and they had to redo something because they tried to wreck it, I guess, the Germans. So they had to fix up Goebbels' car for this big thing, and that's what he worked on was Goebbels' car.
Wow.
So you know who the big thing was that the Czechs were so unbelievably so excited about? Jack Benny, the comedian. They just thought Jack Benny was the greatest American there was, and he was the guest of honor at the liberation thing. So they had to fix up Goebbels' car for Jack Benny.
Can I tell you a quick Jack Benny story?
Sure.
Jack Benny, by all accounts, was one of the most genuine, nice entertainers of all time. And we all know the horror stories, and we've talked about some of those horror stories in the past. But his daughter told the sweetest story about Jack Benny, who I think was from Waukegan, Illinois, so not too far from Green Bay. Yeah. And one day he came home, and she was in high school, and he said, I'm going to the hospital to visit a friend. Would you like to go along? And she said, I was 16, 17 years old. I had no interest in my dad's old friends.
Right.
And so he went off to see his friend. He came home in the afternoon, and she said, well, how's your friend doing? He said, he's getting better. And he said, you know, who's your friend? Would I know him? He goes, well, I think you might. Harry Truman.
Oh, no kidding.
And she said, all these years, I have kicked myself.
Yeah.
Wow. I had a chance to go, but she said that was the kind of guy he was. It wasn't like Harry Truman, President Henry Truman. It was my friend Harry.
Well, then there had to be some connection with that.
Yes.
For Jack Benny to be over there at the end of World War II.
Sounds like it.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'll be darned. Okay, that's the connection then. Because he even said, that my buddy Richard, I had no idea how that connection would... Okay, that explains it then.
He knew people.
He knew people. Do you guys ever get something? Did they destroy all those, like, the Nazis things and everything like that? Or are they still collectibles?
They are still collectibles, but they always come with an asterisk.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
In fact, you've mentioned some of the high-ranking officials. Most collectors, most, not all, will stay away from anything that might be controversial because when you go to the core...
Yeah.
There's a lot of pain there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but they're still out there and some have toured with them. When I have been in the presence of vehicles like that, and I have been in the presence of Hitler's vehicle and the like, I don't like it because of what it stands for. Not because of, it's not a brilliant vehicle and it has history tied to it. It's just, I have an uncomfortable feeling with it. And I think a lot of people do, but if seen in the right context,
right,
from a historical perspective,
part, right,
there's a lot of history that is to be
history is
admired.
History. I mean, right. I mean, no matter which side you're on, it's history.
Exactly.
And I think it's okay that it evokes some of those emotions. I think that almost makes some of the things that you look at, it's like, wow, this, I don't like this, but I think that's
kind of like
cool.
What you say with art.
Art, there's a lot of things like that. Even when you go visit some things, it's like, okay, this is unbelievable. This happened here.
There's an unnamed museum that has the hearse that Lee Harvey Oswald was carried in. And I have the same opinion about that. Right. I am not.
What about the car Kennedy was in?
That car, interestingly enough, was redone, repainted, and Lyndon Baines Johnson had that vehicle as his limousine, but he insisted that it be painted blue, or I should say black. JFK's Continental was a navy blue, and Lyndon Baines Johnson started a trend that continues today. Governmental vehicles are black, and he said, I want nothing to do with that, and as history played out, I believe Lyndon Baines Johnson used it once or twice and wanted nothing to do with it, but it did not leave the presidential motorcade until the Carter administration, if you can believe it.
It was still used?
Still used.
The car that Kennedy was shot in.
Right. Not by the presidents, but by others in it, because back then it took 18 or 24 months to make a new armored limousine. Today, it still takes time, but it's much more, it's a smoother process.
Wow!
Isn't that amazing?
That's
the car still exists.
Where is it now?
Well, I think it's in the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn, Michigan.
Oh!
But for many, many years, it was so incredulous to me that the car, given its history, would be... But that's
weird.
Why
I can see LBJ doing that. I mean, he was... Mm-hmm. That guy was a weird dude.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised those other presidents didn't honor him.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's something. Right. So, hey, this Mercedes show, this German show that's coming up, and I'm just all about the Germans engineering.
Yes and no.
Ooh.
I had a Karmann Ghia. That's a German car, right?
Yeah.
Why did they make air-cooled engines? I had that up in the UP. I used to have to scrape my windshields from the inside. There was no heat in that thing whatsoever.
No heat, right.
None.
But that was partly because of the austere engineering that went into. I mean, if you had a VW Beetle, and a friend of mine had one in high school, we froze in the wintertime.
Oh, right.
Because
God,
it would take forever
crazy.
For the heater
to
heat up.
I'm thinking of the other side. I bought a 450 SL in your old neck of the in Flint.
Oh, okay.
Flew over there, picked it up, bought it from a guy. And I just couldn't believe, I would look down and you're going like 110.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how that's the nicest car I've ever owned. And I just, So I've always liked the engineering. It was just how smooth it was, how big it was, just everything about it.
I tried getting an adapter so I could plug in a blow dryer in my cigarette lighter.
Yo, that's amazing.
Honest to God,
that country made the yin and yang.
Don't they make those adapters where you can plug something in a car? Or no? But I thought that might at least work, a blow dryer.
Yeah, and if you come to the show this weekend, you'll see a 1960 Mercedes 220 SE Cabriolet, which is one of three or four in the world. Only 1,112 were ever made, and only three or four in original condition. The door shuts on that car today better than anything you'll find on the showroom floor in an automobile dealer. That was the attention to detail. And you open the door, and it's chrome-wrapped. This was 50, 60, 70 years ago they were putting this kind of care and attention into the building of these vehicles.
Well, my dad, iron ore miner his whole life. And when the mines were slowing down, one of the things, I mean, it closed down for a couple of years at times, for the demand was so low. And one of the things was, he explained to me how the automakers were rolling out the sheets of metal, and they were just thinner. I forget what degree thinner than they used to be. So what you're talking there was probably the heyday of the best
metal.
Oh, and that's where the mines were going great.
And so, Darryl, I want to talk. I think this is really going to be a fun car show. And then you got food, music. So we'll talk about that when we come back. That is an event for the whole family. And I just love what you do there. I just think.
Thank you.
I don't think everybody's been there, and I think they should. And who doesn't like German vehicles? Right?
Darryl Burnett for the Auto Gallery. Back up. Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here at 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, and of course the Civic Media app worldwide. 54 degrees in Green Bay, 54 in Appleton, 55 in Oshkosh. We're with Darryl Burnett from the Automobile Gallery talking about a great event coming up this Saturday.
Oktoberfest. So we are going to,
That's
right.
Say it again.
Oktoberfest.
There you go.
I thought you said that the first
time. So did I.
No, I don't think you did.
He just likes to pick on me in the morning. Wow. That's all right. That's shows over. Tomorrow.
Say it again real quick.
Oktoberfest.
All right.
So that is coming up, and that is Saturday, September 28th, right here at the Automobile Gallery, of course, right down the road
away,
from us.
Two
right,
blocks away.
400 South Adams Street. It's an incredible German car exhibit, and we were talking earlier just about the engineering of German cars, and I was going on, and then you guys reminded me they made some junk, too. Not junk, but, they didn't
have... Well, that Carmagia was fun. It was a fun little summer car, sporty.
Just didn't have heat.
Literally did not have heat.
But, Darryl, tell us a little bit more about it. This is $15. This is, man.
We purposely keep it thing so that everyone can afford to come to it.
And music, food.
Can I read this quick text, Darryl?
Sure.
It says, my wife owned a Mitsubishi. If her grandfather, who was a World War II vet, knew that, he would have been upset and probably not talked to her. Right. I didn't realize Mitsubishi made the Japanese warplanes. Interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. It is. And, all those factories. And we did it here in the U.S. In World War II, we didn't make a new car in this country until 1949.
Yep.
A truly new one. They were just rehashed because they were taking all the factories and turning them back into what they originally designed to do. But during the war effort, Ford Motor Company, and there's a great book out, and I forget the name of it, but it's the role that the automotive companies played in the victory of World War II.
B-24s, they were turning them out a couple a day.
That's right.
At the end, yeah.
So, but again, there was, similar to any era, there were those responsible and those who, had to subsist and survive.
You know what was a really, really big controversy in what you're talking about is, Henry Ford... I don't know, good or bad guy, in your opinion.
But he built the middle class, man.
but he was having, he was making crap tons of money, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? With those contracts, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And having the guys work extra hours. And that was when they had their first strike. Mm-hmm. And there was the big thing, how can you strike? You're building a plane for our war. And they're trying to say, here's what he's doing to us. So that was, guys died in that when it got so bad. But it was... the newspapers that then, one of them was pro-union, one was against the union type things.
Right.
And they would make those guys look like, oh, my God, can you believe this? your son is dying on the battlefield of Germany and your neighbor is striking. Right. So he's not making enough money to give him a weapon. And it was really ugly.
There was another part of World War II that Henry Ford played a major role in, too. And I'm not going to pick sides here. But
the gliders?
Well, no, I'm talking about the Jeep.
Okay.
Willis, which most people call it Willys, but
I love
technically
Willie
it was Willis, had the contract to build the Jeep for World War II and ended up building 432,000 of them. But Henry Ford, with his friends in Washington, happened to get a piece of that contract. And the Ford Motor Company built several Jeeps as well during the war. And Willis never forgave the government for doing that. And fortunately, Jeep survived, but Willis itself did not. And so that's a little known story about World War II. So even in times of war, when we're pulling together, you know, sometimes there's backroom politics.
A lot of people don't know this, though, but if you ever go up through Iron Mountain, they've got the glider museum there because gliders were built. You know what they used in D-Day, the gliders, where they were towed and then let them go? They were built, one of the big factories up in Kingsford and Iron Mountain, Michigan, because of the wood supplies up there with the hardwood and everything.
And that's and the other part of Kingsford is a little known fact that Ford built Woodies back in the 40s.
That's right. That's one reason they had it there because they had the supply chain.
And never wanted to waste anything, Henry Ford took the remnants of building those and formed the Kingsford Charcoal Company, which Ford Motor Company
you know
owned
your history.
For decades.
Well, wow. Kingsford history.
Pretty cool, though, to learn that, you know, because there's always, we talk about that with businesses, there's always a story behind the story. Right. And that's cool to learn that kind of stuff. Hey,
we had a Woody, okay, and it was parked in our backyard We called it the Big M, Big Mercury, and one summer, we spent the whole time, my dad's like, oh, might as well just tear it apart. Smashing the windows, ripping off the seats, doing all that stuff. Can you imagine what that thing would be worth?
Right.
If my dad had said, let's put it in a garage and let it sit.
Right.
Was there a restoration that followed this?
No. We just tore it apart. Wow. So, shoot off the windows with the BB guns, the whole thing. Yeah. And then he had it towed away for junk. Yeah. Can you imagine? And it was beautiful. We've got pictures of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one that the surfers then, they all reclaimed them in the 60s and I'm sorry. See, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, Daryl, how do you come up with these events? Like the Italian Fest was, like I said, well, like you said, but I knew because I went to it, was 700 expected guests, and you had 1400.
Right.
Is German Fest? I mean,
we're hoping people, for the same, right?
But do people donate? How do you get the vehicles for something like this? Because this is cool
that's an
stuff.
Excellent question. I actually started both of these events because, you know, being a 501c3 and not for profit, we needed to find revenue streams. And so we have about 537 car shows, I think, in this area in the summertime alone.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them.
So being in the business that we are, I had to think of something that was unique, something that wasn't going to compete with our friends in that business. And so I came up with Festa Italiana and I came up with Oktoberfest. And I literally went out because the pressure was on my shoulders. And I found these cars from across the country. And I am so blessed to have good friends.
There's a pretty good network, though, isn't there?
There is.
And people
when you're serious about cars.
But there's also people with cool cars. Kind of like to show them off a little.
Oh, yeah.
When they found out what we were doing, they are all in. So it's so wonderful.
All right. Derek, can you stick around?
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about
this. For Derek Burnett, Oktoberfest, coming up on Saturday.
Well said.
Did he? Was it? I don't think so.
He's
Todd, the boss.
Thank you, Todd.
Oktoberfest.
We're still taking entries for the worst album cover of all time for two tickets to Frank's, I want to say dinner theater, Frank's Productions.
Let me be Frank Productions.
Yeah, I always want to say Frank's Dinner Theater.
Yeah.
They haven't had dinners in 10 years.
20.
20.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.